And all of us at some time in our life have to deal with a critic. We may live with one. We may work with one. Our relatives may be that. And criticism can begin to just undermine us and make us feel worthless and like we're going nowhere. During the course of the last 14 years of my life, it's been interesting as I was thinking about this week. They've been critical years in my life. I've had to face and go through a lot of really necessary criticism. Criticism about getting married. Criticism about the way we're raising our family. Criticism about the way I talk or don't talk. Criticism about what could be better about this and what could be better about that. And of course, obviously, being in public life, as I am, and do for a living, you come under a lot of scrutiny. And people have all kinds of ideas of what ought to be done or how they shouldn't be done. During the course of these last 14 years, I've learned six things that have helped me deal with criticism. It doesn't always make it easy. It doesn't magically always make the pain or the hurt go away. But it's given me six tangible things that I can do to effectively deal with a critic and with the critic's criticism. The first two are inward attitudes that are necessary for you to have in order to deal effectively with criticism. And the last four are practical things that you can do in your relationship while you're in the heat of the moment in dealing with the individual. The first one is simply this. You and I must gain God's perspective on criticism. Believe it or not, God has a perspective on criticism, and I'd like to read it to you this morning. There are three verses out of the book of Proverbs that have reshaped my perspective. They've changed my belief system when it comes to criticism. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 18. And I'm going to read this to you from the Living Proverbs. It wasn't until I read the Living Proverbs that the light bulb came on this particular subject. It says, if you refuse criticism... If I was going to sum that up, give you a summary statement about those three perspectives, you could say this. Criticism is your key to success. And how you deal with it will determine whether you succeed or fail in life. Let me give you a little example. The first one says, if we refuse criticism, our life will end in poverty and disgrace. I just give you a little object lesson. When Brent and I were first thinking about what we wanted to do with Evergreen Community Church and how we wanted to format it and what we wanted to do, do you know that one of the main things that was on our mind and that determined the format and the style of what we would do is the criticisms of people who have gone to church and no longer go? Do you realize how many churches today are ending in poverty and disgrace, are headed there because they refuse to change? They refuse to listen to the criticisms of those who have come and those who have gone. Criticism is essential for you to become successful. Without it, there is no success. That's not an easy thing to remember. But I try to always keep in the forefront of my mind that there's no one on the planet who is perfect. No one. All of us need the help and the suggestions of others. And I always remember that wisdom is not having it all together, but knowing that you don't and being willing to allow others to help you. That's a crucial attitude. It takes courage to take criticism, doesn't it? We usually think of criticism as a disgraceful thing, as a dishonor, because we think, well, if I was smart, I would have had it all together and I would have known that and they wouldn't have had to say that. That isn't true. That isn't true. And criticism comes in all shapes and sizes. Some of it's valid and some of it is not. But unless you have this essential belief system, then you'll never be able to discern the good from the bad, because you won't want to listen to any of it. The second point for your attitude is humility is the path to success and abundant life. Humility is the path to success and abundant living. Be humble before God and men. There's another proverb that God has used to shape my belief system, and it says this: pride leads to arguments. Be humble, take advice, and be wise. Be humble, take advice, and be wise. You see, taking advice, listening to criticism, shows our humility. One of the reasons I find that people don't read the Bible more is not so much because they don't understand it, but because sometimes, quite frankly, it speaks too close to home, doesn't it? It tells us things that we don't always want to hear. One of the beautiful things about God is you can always be sure that God has your best interest in mind. God never has bad motives. God never has ulterior motives. God always cares about your best. So whatever His Word says is for your very best. Now people, they can be a little different sometimes. Sometimes people don't necessarily have your best interest in mind. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Be humble. Humility will bring success to your life. I want to share with you a little story. Happened to me. Actually, I have a lot of stories similar to this, not quite exactly like this one. But about 7.5 years ago, I was going through a very difficult time in my life. And I had come under some very necessary criticisms. There were some needs in my life through some leadership evaluation, some things that were going on, my own life, some needs that were reflected in the way that I lived and conducted my life. There were some needs. And as a result of trying to face those, at the same time, I felt like a failure. I felt just totally worthless. Like I might as well give up my pursuit to get in the ministry, because I'll probably never change. And I was feeling extremely low, lower than I've ever been in my life. About a week after this happened, a friend came to me, a very close friend, who I cared about very much. He called me on the phone and asked if he could come over to visit. And I could tell by his tone of voice on the phone, this wasn't going to be one of those pep rally type of visits. And my inside said, come up with a good excuse why you can't talk. But I didn't. So one particular Monday evening, he came over just before I went to my second job. I got off at 5, he came about 5:15, and I had to be my other job at 7. We sat in the living room, and you could cut the tension with the knife. And he basically lowered the boom on me with both barrels. Mark, you're the most unloving, proud, insensitive person I've ever met in my life. Your whole life's just a mess. And that went on for about 30 minutes. And then he left, and I wept. And then I had to go to work. And I sat at the place where I worked that night, and God began bringing these verses back to my mind. I really didn't want to think about them. I just felt like someone taking a 2x4 and knocked every ounce of error and desire out of me for good. And I started to think about what he'd said. No matter what I felt about it, I thought, all right, God, all right, you said to accept criticism will lead me to the road of fame. And so I very carefully and very meticulously thought about everything he said. And you know, I began to realize he was right. He was right. God began to bring to my mind the passage of Scripture that says, if you can speak with the tongue of angels and you have faith that will move mountains and you lay down your life for everybody, but you don't have love, you aren't patient, kind, and understanding and sensitive to others, you're a zero. You're nothing. Never has that come so clear to me as that night in my life. Well, I took him very seriously. And I went and took some major steps in my life to see that change. Shortly after I was ordained the ministry, we were together at a conference, and he's also a pastor now, and now we're very good friends, very, very close friends. We talk fairly regularly. He came up to me, and he said, Mark, he said, and I've been meaning to tell you this for years, he said, I just never knew how to face you after that night. He said, you remember that night that I came over? I said, yeah, I sure do. He said, do you know that I came totally out of selfish motives? I wanted to purposefully hurt you. He said, I was malicious. I was jealous. And I wanted to get at you. And I looked at him and I said, I know. I said, I could sense that. I said, but I want to tell you something. That was the critical point in my life. What you said that night, you may have intended for evil, but God meant it for good. And it changed the course of my life. And I'll always be grateful to you for it. You see, we can always learn from everyone. There's always something that we can learn. Now, I'm going to give you four simple little steps. What you need to do when you're in the heat of the moment, because believe me, when you're in the heat of the moment like that, you want to walk out of the room, smack them in the face, or really give them a piece of your mind. The last thing you want to do is listen. And that's the first thing that you need to do. Listen with your mouth shut. Listen. Hear them out. Don't get off on a tangent because of a technicality. It is so easy to do. And sometimes we blow technicalities out of proportion, but I want to share something with you. Technicalities are often the difference between success and failure. So don't camp on those. Let them have the opportunity to say what's on their heart. I found two things. Number one, there are really three or four types of critics. There's the critic who really cares about you and wants to help you. Then there's the critic who wants to help you and really doesn't know what they're talking about. Then there's the critic who really wants to hurt you and dig deep. Okay? But if you don't listen carefully, you may miss what type of critic it is. You also may miss the value. You will miss the value of the criticism. The other thing that I've found is that by listening, often the chronic critic is simply looking for someone to listen. And I have found that by listening, I can establish a rapport and friendship and help them out of their critical mode of life. Because like I shared the first Sunday, others are more important. Always think in terms of others' interest and walk in their shoes and ask yourself, what can I give to them? So even when you're in the middle, you can try to think, what can I contribute to this individual's life? The second thing is never, ever argue. Now I've learned this the hardest way of all. Proverbs says, the beginning of an argument is like the letting out of water or breaking of a dam, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Have you ever had that feeling? You're talking with a friend or a loved one or your mate, and you decide to let this dam really go, to let the water just bust out, and you know, it leaves everybody just wiped. The tension you can cut with a knife, and there's no way to get back. You try to get back to some kind of sensitivity, but you can't get it back. A couple years ago, I got a phone call from a relative, close relative, and after the initial hellos and how are you, they asked me a question. I thought it was an innocent question at the time. So it was on a controversial subject. And I began to throw out my opinion. The next thing I knew, I was in a major war. A major war for 45 minutes long distance. And no matter how hard I tried, once I get into it, it was very hard to get out. I hung up the phone that night and I thought, thank you, God. I just learned a lesson in life. So now what I do, when people ask me questions and I'm not sure of what they're getting at, and if I don't know them real well, I always say, well, you know, that's a good question. What do you think about that? I allow them to expose their position, and then I can discover what types of mental gymnastics I'm going to have to do to keep peace. And that's not always easy to do. A few weeks ago, that's been about 6 weeks ago, there was a group of students here from a certain college in the Twin Cities, religious college.
After the service, they gathered around me, and I thought they just wanted to chat, and they did. But before long, I realized they had some other things on their mind. Like, why don't you believe the way we believe, and what you're doing is wrong this and wrong that. And I didn't want that to happen. So I could tell there was one who was particularly the ringleader. So I reached over and I grabbed his hand and I said, you know, I want to tell you young people something. It is so encouraging to see young men and women who love the Lord, who want to serve Him. And I just want to tell you this. It doesn't ever matter whether we agree or not. You have the same Lord as I do, and I'm proud to call you my family and to see that you're willing to give your life for Christ. Don't you ever quit believing what you believe. You be strong in your faith. Be strong in your belief. And hope God richly blesses your life. What do you say to that? How do you argue with that? See? Because you just don't win. Debates just don't win. And it's been hard for me to learn that. Maybe because I have a motor mouth. Maybe because I just have a lot of opinions on a lot of things. And so many times I've seen the damage that I've left by getting into this massive argument. It doesn't do any good. Which leads me to the third thing. Avoid being defensive. Do you know the first thing that happens to us is we want to defend our position. You've got to understand me. You've got to understand why I did that. We want to justify ourselves. Well, usually because we either want them to understand or we want to protect our hurt emotions. And that's not always easy to do. But here's what I found. I found that by not arguing and avoiding being defensive and listening, I'm able to gain insight into that other person's feelings and perspective. I'm able to learn from them. And oftentimes what I find is when they're finished, they will ask me, well, what do you think? You know, they'll sometimes say, well, you know, I said enough. I'd be more interested to know, really, what's your perspective and why did you do it and what did you mean by what you said? And then I have time to be calm and to answer that or to say, you know, I think you're right. I mean, that isn't how I intended that necessarily, maybe, but, you know, I can really see how people would have taken that way. I'm glad you brought that up. Don't be defensive. And the fourth thing is really a natural. Always be gracious and thank the person for the criticism. Nothing disarms a person more and ingratiates you into the favor of others than graciousness, than being thankful. You see, it took them a lot of courage to come and talk to you. It wasn't easy to come and say what they said. And you may not agree with it, and you know what? They really may be off the wall. But there may come a time that the person who is way off the wall this time may not be off the wall next time. And if you lay into them, you could miss, you could blow away a person who in the future could either become a good friend or an effective critic. I found this with people. Often, those who criticize, when I thank them, it has maybe not made them a supporter, but it has made them look at me with respect. But I have also found that many of my critics have become my most loyal supporters. Some of the most encouraging things to me over the last 3 years that I've been here are people, when we first started changing the format of the church and with these new ideas, with some was very difficult. The change was very hard. Others just didn't agree with it. And there were those who told me, and Brent. And it was encouraging to watch as we just dealt with it in a gracious manner. As we tried to apply what we share with you today, some of those people, many of them are here today, and they're the most loyal supporters in the church. You can make friends with your critics. So let me encourage you. Make sure you remember God's perspective on criticism. It will make or break your life. Criticism is your key to success and how you deal with it. Be humble. Be humble with God. Be humble with Ben. And learn. Always be hungry to learn. And then listen. Don't argue and don't be defensive. And be gracious. And you'll get an opportunity to express yourself. I'd like to invite you back next week. It'll be the last of this series dealing with difficult people. And we'll discuss the two most important ingredients for dealing with all people.